Welcome to your home for sports coverage without the bias. This is Totally Unbiased Sports with Josh and Kellen.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Totally Unbiased Sports with Josh and Kellen.
Hi.
The Steelers scored on the first drive.
They did. Hey, congrats. Big ups.
Then they proceeded to just not score the rest of the game, but they scored on the first drive.
They won.
They did.
Win's
not
a win.
Not apologizing for a win, but this is a win that I would apologize for if I had to apologize for wins.
You've not been happy after a single win this year, I don't think.
No. Well, beating the Browns, I was happy.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't been happy after a single loss, which the Bears have been doing a lot of.
Yeah. So I'm going to have to change tactics when it comes to the Bears. Are they on a bye week this week, Kellen?
No. No. Are we? I don't know.
You have to be getting close.
Did we already have a bye?
No, there's no way you had your
bye. No, that was Baylor. Okay.
I had a bye. You didn't have a bye.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm going to have to shift my tactics when it comes to the Chicago Bears. Because
There's nothing you can do that can help them. I'm sorry.
Not watching the games, turns out, does not make them win anymore. So now I got to find the new thing that I got to do to help the Chicago Bears win.
Okay. So what are we trying this week then?
Who do the Bears play? Let me look it up.
Oh, we got the Panthers on Thursday night.
Oh, God. Yeah. This is going to be the lowest-watched game ever.
Al Michaels is going to throwing a temper tantrum.
I think he's just going to quit. Yeah. What are the odds that Al Michaels makes it through this game?
He's going to call him sick. He's going to call him sick on Thursday.
Like,
he was backup guy at Amazon. I don't think he's a backup guy yet. So that's going to be interesting to see.
He was thoroughly enjoying last Thursday night's game with the Steelers and the Titans.
Yeah, he almost raised his voice a whole octave.
Yeah, he was having fun with that one.
He's washed.
And is he?
I think so.
I don't know.
I call him washed because the Bears, for some reason, have had an ungodly amount of Thursday night games since Amazon has started, and Al Michaels has been pissed off calling every single one because the Bears are terrible. But, hey, it's your job to announce the game and be excited about it. So maybe do your job, Al Michaels.
Here's the deal. I don't think that he's washed. I think he just doesn't care.
Do you think he could do a Super Bowl right now?
I do think he's capable of doing a Super Bowl, but he's making so much money and he's given trash matchups. Why would he care? Like, he gets paid either way.
Yeah.
So why would you get up for a Bears Panthers game?
Because it's your job. Because it's your job to do that. That's why.
But he's already cemented his legacy, so I think he just doesn't care. I don't think he's actually washed.
I agree with you. That's probably a more accurate assessment, but it still pisses me off that he's not doing his job correctly.
Yeah, well, I know. It is still his job, and he should be doing his job correctly. Yeah. It is slightly embarrassing. Like, I mean, but tell him.
He's just giving more. This is what really pisses me off, is you're giving more people reason to dunk on the Bears.
Okay, but like, can you even watch the Bears and get up for it anymore?
That's a good point. I mean, I haven't been excited to watch a Bears game in years, I don't think. I mean, well, actually, probably the first game this year. I always get excited for the first game of the year. And remember, I did text on last week's show, I said, like, I'm just not going to get excited for a Bears game until they prove that they're good. And then I think two days later, they traded for Montez Sweat, and I was just like, the Bears are back. It's my own fault.
Do you want to talk about that?
The trade or the game?
The trade and the game.
I like the trade. I think the trade was good. Montez Sweat is a very good pass rusher. That's the Bears' biggest position of need. And they gave up a second-round pick for him, and they were able to extend him as well. So the trade is worth it. He's immediately the most talented player on the Bears defense, and they really need a guy who can get after the quarterback. The Bears did improve last week from zero sacks to zero sacks, but zero sacks with more pressures against the Saints. So there was that. It's not like we're getting to the quarterback right now. First game, I'll give him first game jitters, whatever. Doesn't know the system doesn't know how to get after the quarterback in a Chicago Bears uniform yet.
I don't think you're legally allowed to do that.
Yeah. Well, it used to be. I remember you used to be. I remember a lot of guys who did that. And that's what's so disappointing is the Bears have just lost all toughness. They're a sorry franchise.
Oh.
For the second, they have as many wins mm-hmm. as coaches fired for HR reasons. That's a stat that's available for people. Two coaches have been fired for undisclosed reasons. But HR
is involved.
Isn't HR involved in every firing, though, technically, if we're thinking about it?
I mean, yes, HR is probably involved in every firing. But it seems like these are HR.
Here for you.
It seems like these are HR violations is okay. why he got fired, not just HR doing the due diligence when he is fired.
Get ready for this, though.
Yeah, I'm so ready for the spin zone. That's going to be stupid.
The NFL, they got a lot of problems, right, Josh?
Yes.
You know, a lot of bad people sometimes come out and they work in mm-hmm. the NFL. John Gruden, that's a good example of a guy who probably, you know, deserves to get fired. And probably a lot of people at the Las Vegas Raiders or Oakland Raiders mm-hmm. deserve to get fired. And all these other teams, they're probably just sweeping it under the rug right now. Bears have character and accountability. So they're actually firing these guys and telling us that, hey, they weren't meeting our standards. They weren't meeting the standards of how we should treat people. They weren't meeting the Chicago Bears standards of culture. That's why they're out of here. So sorry that my favorite NFL team, my favorite franchise, holds himself to a higher standard than everyone else, Josh.
I was unaware that the Bears knew what a standard was.
Yeah, no, they do. And they hold themselves to that.
It's a low one.
No, they hold themselves to a high one is basically the point that I just made, Josh.
What is this high standard?
Well, success off the field. That's the high standard.
Character. How do you define
character
success?
Counts.
How do you define success off
Bruce
the field?
Pearl, character counts. Success off the field?
Yeah, define that for me.
It's intangibles. You can't really define it. So, unfortunately, I'm going to have to plead the fifth on that one. But the Bears have character.
Oh. Or are...
You're speechless.
They have characters.
They do
bad
that
characters.
Too. Yeah.
They have
on
bad
the
characters that are getting fired.
No. Well, yes. But because they have character, they're getting fired. Okay, it kind of collapses
like,
in on itself.
So you so what I'm hearing.
I don't like the fact. This is all just a spin zone. This is just a spin zone.
I know, okay? But like, I'm just gonna clear things up.
You're backing me into a corner. You're making me.
I'm gonna clear things up here for everybody, real quick.
Yeah. Please do.
Essentially,
I'm confusing myself.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
The Bears are a very well-run organization, and they know exactly what they're doing.
I didn't say that. I didn't say that.
No, it was kind of implied by the standard.
Well, unfortunately, I did imply that. That's true.
So, the Bears will be just fine, because they are totally back. They were in the game, Kellen.
They were in the game, in a game where they turned the ball over 5 times and forced 0 turnovers from the other team. It was one possession
game. Better
than
turning over 6 times.
That's true, which they haven't done yet this year. Tyson Bagent might not be the answer at quarterback. He was looking like it in the first half, and I thought that I was really going to have to feel some things for him. I'm kind of glad I don't have to emotionally invest into another Bears quarterback. He turned the ball over 4 of those 5 times. I think 3 interceptions and a fumble. DJ Moore had a bad fumble, whatever. The Bears just played a really bad game of football in the second half. The defense was okay. It was okay. It got stops when it needed to. They did all right. So I'll give them that. I'm just trying to find positives at this point. I need the whole coaching staff to get fired. There's talent on the roster that can be built around, but this coaching staff is incapable of doing that, and they've proven that they're incapable of doing that. They have a couple good drives in a row, and then Luke gets conservative all of a sudden.
Because they hold themselves to such a high standard.
We'll limit that to the front office. The front office, high standard people. The coaching staff, I don't know what they're
up to. The people that hired the coaches.
No, the coaches. High standard? The head coach, Matt Eberflus, hired the other coaches.
But who hired Matt Eberflus?
That would be George McCaskey, who's the owner and not in the front office. I'm out on George McCaskey. I've said that. Because, you remember this, I said George McCaskey already had his guy picked out before he picked out Ryan Poles. That's a fact. That's a fact.
Yeah, he did.
Go he look did. At the timeline. Okay. So Ryan Poles, I'm still not in on Ryan Poles, but Ryan Poles, high character guy.
Okay, my next question.
Okay. I'm fighting for my life here right now, by the way.
The Bears are totally going to draft Caleb Williams. He's going to be a bust, right?
Well, like the dude cried. I don't know if they're going to draft Caleb Williams, but whoever they draft will be a bust, yes.
Okay, but like...
And the other guy will be really good.
Can we admit that Caleb Williams is a bust?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because we're...
He's bad.
If we make fun of Dan Campbell for crying, we can't just all of a sudden flip the script on Caleb Williams.
He's so bad.
And he didn't play bad in that game. To be fair, his defense led up 52 points, and he scored 42. Usually when you score 42 points in a football game, you win that football game. Not if you're USC, unfortunately. But Caleb Williams also made fun of Max Duggan for crying last year.
Yeah, it's
and
tough
now he
for
went
him.
And did this same thing. So
he looked worse.
He can't really feel much sympathy towards him.
Like, those weren't even manly tears from him.
Oh, he was bawling his eyes out. Yeah.
That was pathetic. That's the next Bears quarterback.
That was some Dan Campbell crying happening
right
there. Yeah,
that's the next Bears quarterback right there.
Yeah. Hey, if he's the next Bears quarterback, man, that's just passion right there. That's just his passion showing. I'd love to see that level of passion out of my guys.
Crying after a loss?
Passion after a loss.
Passion.
He was just fired up and overwhelmed with emotion that it was bursting out of his eyeballs in the forms of tears.
I love that you're defending a guy that just maybe might get picked by your team in 9 months.
Yeah, yeah. I've never defended a football player crying in my entire life, and now I have to.
This is fun for me.
This sucks for me.
Kind of fun.
It was a funny look on Saturday. It has to be a little bit satisfying for TCU fans or people who are following that TCU team. Because of how big of a hypocrite that does make Caleb Williams.
Yeah,
Max Duggan, he was crying at the podium after the Big 12 championship game. After he basically broke his ribs and was the only guy playing for TCU that game. And they lost a heartbreaking game in overtime where they were trying to finish off an undefeated season. And it didn't happen. Caleb Williams loses 3 of his last 4 games and plays really, really bad football in a couple of them. Not in this game. He didn't play bad football. I'll give him that.
I love that Caleb Williams is trying to convince people that he has only played one bad quarter of football.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Him and Ryan Day are best friends in the fact that they've literally never played. They played one bad quarter in the last 6 years.
Yeah, well, Ryan Day might be right about that. Maybe.
I actually watched the entire Ohio State Rutgers game on Saturday. He is not right about that.
Well, okay, but no, here's the thing. According to, I think Ryan Day's logic is if we win the game, we couldn't have played a single bad half of that football game.
I mean, because fair enough.
They played a couple bad halves this year. Yeah.
We've had one bad half in 4 years.
Lou Holtz can kiss my ass. Just love the idea of 90-year-old Lou Holtz just sitting on his couch, probably pretty peacefully.
It's just
he doesn't have the energy,
free.
And he's just like, whoa, what the heck?
Just rent-free. It's so funny.
Yeah, but Ohio State did beat Notre Dame this year. And
they
you did wear an Ohio State sweatshirt.
I did wear an Ohio State sweatshirt.
Interesting. Interesting. You might have to answer for that later. Do you have anything else you want to make fun of me for about the Bears before we move on to some other topics around the NFL this week?
I mean, I'm sure I'll come up with something, so let's just move on and we'll circle back. Yeah. When.
Perfect. Sounds great.
Well, when I decide how to make fun of you next. This is the only downside to me with not watching the Bears is that I cannot make fun of you as much as I want to.
Okay, well, you might be on watching them. Well, I'm sure you'll watch Thursday Night Football, right?
Do you want me? Probably not. Do you want me to make you feel better?
Yeah, I would love that. You've been making me feel really bad this whole episode.
Did you watch the Packers game yesterday?
No.
Do you see that Jordan? Go look up the Jordan Love interception. It's hysterical.
Okay, I'll do that after the show. I'll be very.
It's gonna make you. It's gonna make you feel good.
Even though the Packers did win, so thanks for reminding me of that.
Yeah, but they have to win every once in a while.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, you don't want them getting Caleb Williams because they will actually turn him into a Hall of Famer.
See, I didn't want like, I couldn't have them coming into the Steelers week on like a 5-game losing streak. So
that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. So another thing that happened in the NFL this last week, the news was dropped at like 2 a.m. or something like that. Josh McDaniels has been fired. Oh. Well, that's also, we'll get to that later.
That's
well, I said NFL news.
I know, but like you said, 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So,
but
weirdly, I was awake for both of these.
Yeah. I was awake for at least one of them.
That's crazy.
Josh McDaniels was fired by the Oakland Raiders.
So we were correct on that.
Yeah. First coach to get fired this year. First head coach to get fired this year. Two Bears coaches have been fired before that.
For why?
We don't know. HR reasons.
Was HR involved?
HR was involved in both of the firings. HR is involved in every firing, by the way, just so you know. That's how firing works. That's what
they do. I didn't hear that HR was involved in this last one, though.
Yeah, I think Mark Davis was heavily involved in this last one and a players' meeting. And
so
the Raiders are 1-0 without Josh McDaniels there. I think this is the whole the Raiders, like, you know how the Bears have the quarterback graphic where it's they've yes. started 1,000 guys since 2000. The Raiders mm-hmm. have the same thing, but for head coaches and quarterbacks, which is kind of nice that they're doing it. And their whole. Their whole strategy mid-season to make a playoff push is to fire their head coach. This is their second time they've done that in 3 years now.
So my question, did you hear about this players' meeting?
Yes, I did. Yeah. Josh McDaniels is soft as hell. Wait. Also, of course you got fired too. So basically to set up this players' meeting – is the new coach, Antonio Pierce, you know, he was asked to speak during the meeting. He was the linebackers coach before.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, and he didn't really have anything. So he brought up a story of how his New York Giants beat the undefeated Patriots team. And it got everyone fired up and they felt pretty motivated. And then Josh McDaniels, after the meeting, took him aside and said, "Don't ever say anything bad about the New England Patriots again." By the way, the New England Patriots are one of the Raiders' biggest rivals. So mm-hmm. you should be saying bad things about them. This is why these Bill Belichick disciples never succeed in the NFL. Because they can't leave their mother's teat. They're just stuck. They're just stuck on the Patriots. So I don't know. Of course he got fired. Of course he got fired.
And apparently all the players stood up and just said bad things about him.
Yeah,
he's a terrible coach.
He's a bad leader. I mean, and I knew that was a bad hire right away. There's red flags everywhere. His first head coaching stint, which lasted, by the way, oh, geez, my cat toasted one. His first head coaching stint also lasted less than 2 years, by the way. He also got fired midseason by the Denver Broncos, where he threw his quarterback, Jay Cutler, under the bus midseason. Excellent quarterback too. I don't know why he's doing that. So there were red flags there already. And then when he was with the Patriots, he was going to get hired by the Colts. He accepted their head coaching position and then backed out 8 hours later. That's a red flag there too. I forgot about that. That's like, yeah, there's no accountability on this guy's part. And he's proven time and time again he's a bad leader because former players go and speak out about him all the time. It just made no sense at the time, that hire. And now now, like, this is the result of it, is he's been fired, and the Raiders are winning football games now.
They won a football game, yeah. I think is what we should say.
They won a football game, but they scored more points than they've scored all year. They scored 30 points.
They also smoke cigars in the locker room after to celebrate. That's a little weird.
After beating the New York Giants and Tommy DeVito.
That's a little bit weird.
That is, yeah.
T's and P's, Daniel Jones, though, he's done for the year.
Yeah, that was sad. Dude was just on a drop back, too. Giants might end up with the number one pick because Tommy DeVito was he was an average college quarterback at Illinois. And, I mean, I don't know how they're supposed to win a game. And Josh Dobbs is off the market. Trade deadline's over. Can't trade for Kyler Murray or anything. So I don't know. I think the Giants could end up with Caleb Williams. So we'll see.
That would suck for everybody.
But I think smoking the cigars in the locker room,
weird.
You know, as bad of a look as that is, I think it was more in celebration of Josh McDaniels actually being out of the locker room.
I understand, and like I'm all for like you should celebrate a win and like maybe, but like I feel like the cigars is maybe like when you go home or like maybe you go to a cigar bar after or something. Like in the locker room, just feels a little weird to me.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I would if after practice on like Wednesday you smoke cigars in the locker room. I'm there for that.
Well, you got to do it. I don't think you can wait more than a day to smoke a victory cigar.
Well, no, I'm saying
cigar.
Like when he got when he got fired after practice that day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Then I would be for that.
That would have been funny. That would have been way better actually.
Shout out Devontae Adams though.
Yeah. I think he got him fired.
Yeah, an all-time quote last week where he was just like he basically threw everyone under the bus without throwing anyone under the bus. He was just like, I can't say what I want to say, so I'm just going to not say anything or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Devontae is unhappy in Oakland, but...
Do you feel bad for him?
No. No, and it was brought up on another podcast that we probably listened to. He chose to sign with the Raiders.
Oh, I didn't listen to this one.
He wanted out of Green Bay, and he chose the Raiders, who all the signs are there for a dysfunctional franchise. You had to see this coming, dude. You wanted to play with your buddy Derek Carr, but the writing was also kind of on the wall with Derek Carr when he got there.
Yeah, so Derek Carr sucks.
Yeah, Derek. Well, he just beat the Bears, so he can't be that bad, right?
There's also he's pretty bad. Okay. There's also whoever the guy that started for them, because Jimmy Garoppolo, people forgot he got benched.
Yeah, Aiden O'Connell, AOC.
Aiden O'Connell, don't like that he wore 4. He looks a little too much like Derek Carr.
He looks like a Muppet. He does not look like a football player at all.
Like
he looks
when
like
he's...
Farva from Super Troopers.
Super Troopers. Farva. Shenanigans?
Hey, what? Hey, Farva, what's that dumb restaurant with all this shit on the wall? Oh, you mean Shenanigans? Love that movie.
Oh, man. But like, shoot, what was I saying before that? Yeah, he just looks too much like Derek Carr. I didn't like it. I kind of forgot. Like,
yeah.
Like under center, he looks like Derek Carr.
Okay. He probably has the same helmet, I would guess. Derek Carr's got a kind of unique helmet, and that's a pretty distinct look.
Yeah, no, it definitely was.
Yeah, so I'm happy Josh McDaniels is gone, and the Raiders just have to pay him a ton of money now for the next couple of years. So they're paying him and John Gruden and now their current head coach. So that's got to be fun for Mark Davis, who's notoriously the cheapest owner in the NFL.
Yeah, but like he's just going to go play the slots in the airport again and make that money back.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's a good point. Good point. Josh, are you worried about the Ravens? They look really good. Okay. Why not?
Who did they play?
The Seahawks.
Okay. They're not an AFC North team.
They're not. No.
Okay. Correct.
So what if they don't run into an AFC North team in the playoffs though?
If the playoffs started today, Kellen, every single AFC North team is in the playoffs.
Okay. All right. There we go. That's all right. Decent rebuttal. I'll give you that one point, Josh. So But the last 2 weeks, the Ravens have looked like the best team in the NFL. They have not played from behind, so that's another reason why I wouldn't be worried, because if you're in the playoffs, you're going to have a close game. You're probably going to have to come from behind at some point to win a playoff game, and Lamar Jackson still has yet to prove he can throw the football in clutch situations. So
yes,
I'll give that one to you as well, but their defense is incredible, headed by Roquan Smith. Of course it's Roquan Smith.
He hasn't beat the Steelers, though.
Hasn't beat the Steelers, correct. But they're playing great football. They've blown out two playoff teams 2 weeks in a row. So I just think that should at least be put out there that they're playing good football and they're figuring a lot out. But we'll see what happens once they actually run into an AFC team. They do very well against the NFC. So if they make it to the Super Bowl, they're almost certainly going to win, though, right?
Don't say that. Shut up.
Okay. Well, at least I got my point at the end.
Don't say that.
So you're not worried about the Ravens at all?
No.
Okay. They're probably going to win the division, though.
I'm still not worried about them. They can win any division they want. They're not going to do anything in the playoffs.
Josh, are you worried about the Bengals at all? They're starting to turn things around. I think they're 6-4 now. Maybe 6-3.
I would be more... I wouldn't say worried. I would be more concerned about the Bengals than I am the Ravens.
Okay. Yeah, they just beat the Bills on Sunday Night Football. The Bills are struggling big time.
Yeah, I did want to talk about this a little bit. I'm kind of discounting this win. I don't think the Bills are that good. I really just like.
Oh, okay. I see that.
I watching the Bills. I've watched them a few times this year. I don't know what it is, but something's missing.
No, you're right. I agree.
It's just not there. Like, everything on paper should be working. I know they've had some key injuries on defense and everything, but I don't have that same feeling that I had a few years ago when you watched the Bills, where it was like, oh, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs or whoever, like, they're going to pull out some crazy play. It's going to go, like, they just don't seem to have that same, like, the bounces aren't going their way.
Well, it's kind of what we've been saying the last couple of years, where it's like, yeah, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs are great. They're elite together. But when are they going to start adding pieces aside from those guys? They need a running back or another receiver.
Playoff Lenny.
Or a good tight end. Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that those are the kind of additions they make. They just add like a guy like Leonard Fournette, who's out of his prime, or they rely on Gabe Davis to be their wide receiver too, when other guys are going out and getting legit wide receiver ones to be their wide receiver twos. So, like, they have the core pieces in place, and they've had them the last couple of years, especially on offense. Like, you have your franchise quarterback, you have your top receiver, but they haven't done anything to add another elite piece to those guys. And it seems they haven't even really made an attempt to do that, right?
No, because I do feel like
it's all catching up with them.
This is what confuses me a little bit, is I feel like Buffalo would be a slam dunk landing spot for some of these free agents or some of these big names that wanted trades, but they just never seem to even be in the rumors to get these guys.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have like the guys like Tyreek Hill and everything, like being like, oh yeah, I would go to Buffalo. Like, they got Stephon Diggs and that's the last of it. And I get that, like, it's miserably cold there, and it takes a different kind of player to be able to play in Buffalo and be successful there. But this, to me, is just shaping up to turn into just like, you kind of look back and you feel like you wasted Josh Allen's entire career. If you're a Bills fan, like, he's a good player. I feel like he tries too hard, and he's trying too hard right now. That's obviously because he doesn't have anyone else.
Exactly.
And
yeah.
And he's playing, I guess you could say, bad football. There is you could say Josh Allen has been bad at times this year, and that's completely fair. I like Josh Allen. I enjoy watching him play, but this just seems more like it's going to shape up to a point where we're sitting there and we're like, man, how did Josh Allen never like make it to a Super Bowl do any, like?
Well, it's hero ball. They're forcing him to play hero ball, and we're wondering, like, we say every week, Josh Allen, he runs like a madman. You can't keep trying to run over people. But the Bills have kind of put him in that position where mm-hmm. he has to play that style of game where he's playing with reckless abandonment. Because if Diggs is covered, who does he have to comfortably rely on at this point? And there's just no one. And it's been 3 years. They've known they've had their guy for at least 3 years now. They're like a franchise guy. And that's an awesome feeling. But
you know who we need? You know what he's missing?
What?
The one thing I think running backs, they can be replaced. A lot of things. He is missing a truly elite tight end.
Yeah.
Every good quarterback that has ever been successful, makes me want to vomit saying it, but Brady had at times only one wide receiver option, but he always had a good tight end. Mahomes right now has arguably the worst receiver options of his entire career, but he has an elite tight end. Ben Roethlisberger always had that tight end, that elite tight end. Heath.
Okay. Sorry. I just love you grouping in. Just grouped in Heath Miller with Travis Kelce.
Okay, but low key, like Heath Miller.
I love Heath Miller.
In Steelers world, like he was. Yes, yeah. I know. I'm not actually trying to say that he was as good of a tight end as Travis Kelce. He was just as important as Travis Kelce, and they don't have that.
To give the Bills some credit is that that's the one thing that they've I think have tried to do. Like Dawson Knox, he's fine, he's decent, mm-hmm. and Dalton Kincaid, they just drafted him this year. And he could be good. I think he still has like pretty good potential. But it's tough for a rookie tight end to have an immediate impact. It takes him a couple years, and it's also tough to hit on tight ends a lot of time because who are the guys that are elite tight ends right now? Elite of the elite. There's probably three.
Kelce?
Kittle and Kelce and maybe Mark Andrews. And Mark Andrews is a tier below those two guys.
I think he's on the decline.
Yeah, I agree with you. But that just proves my point even more is that it's very tough to find that. So it's a lot easier to find a second wide receiver or and even easier than that, a really good running back, which they've had neither of those two things the entire time Josh Allen has been there. And there's been plenty of opportunity to get those guys. Those guys have been available. Guys have been traded. That's what they did to get Stephon Diggs. But it's weird. Now their defense is on the decline. They're giving up a lot of points on defense. So, you know, maybe their focus the last couple of years was defense, and then they have an offense where you could do hero ball. And they got really close to a Super Bowl in the AFC Championship game. But, yeah, their defense is injured. They're on the decline. And now you're seeing what it's like solely relying on the offense, and it's just not conducive to wins.
It's not the world's most pretty thing.
No.
And now this all being said, this could just shape up to the Bills getting really hot and going on a roll.
This could be just minor setback for major comeback. I could see that happening. You're right about that. If I'm a Bills fan and I'm trying to look at this glass half full, just be like, well, we didn't want to get hot too early in the season. That's what they did last year, right? They were the best team through the first probably 14 weeks or so. And then, you know, one little guy has one little, you know, little heart issue, and then things go sideways for him. So I didn't mean to minimize that.
you discounted a heart attack a little bit. Though, but whatever.
Bad. I don't care.
It's just I don't know. And to flip back to like the Bengals, they're playing good football. They're winning games. I'm still not completely like sold on it. There's really no team in the AFC that I've seen that just looks dominant this year and looks unbeatable.
No, you're right. Yeah.
Like every single team has shown cracks and kinks and chinks in the armor. It's just not, it's not there.
You can't say that word anymore.
It's not there.
So yeah, I agree. And I like it. It feels pretty wide open. And even the NFC has had that feeling like the 49ers and Eagles have had it. You know, Eagles are still winning, but, you know, they played some much closer games. 49ers are losing games now. But a team that is starting to turn the corner and also has gotten their franchise quarterback. Josh, will you jump
Pittsburgh
in?
Pittsburgh Steelers?
The Houston Texans.
Oh.
C.J. Stroud is the guy. Five touchdowns, no interceptions, 470 yards passing, broke a rookie record for passing yards in the game. He's been incredible this year. He has one turnover all year. And the Texans have their guy. They have to feel ecstatic about that. He's played incredible football. I don't know what else to say about the guy. I bet I was in on him before the draft. I thought he'd be the best quarterback in the draft. And he's proven that so far. I think he stays that way. It's not a fluke. It's not a fluke. He's throwing to a bunch of Darnell Mooneys out there right now. The receivers are decent, but they're not overly talented. He doesn't have a crazy elite wide receiver right now. So the Texans are in a pretty incredible position to start building around a quarterback right away. And they have a real shot of winning the AFC South this year.
So, yeah, they are in a good spot. They look pretty decent at this point in time. I don't trust the organization to make the right moves to succeed here, though, because they've had, in my opinion, they had better players and better weapons at times, and they never really could do anything.
But I don't know if they've had a C.J. Stroud-level quarterback.
I would argue Deshaun Watson was when he was in his prime.
I don't know.
I would argue.
This could be my.
I would argue.
CJ, he never had a 470 yard passing game. I'll tell you that right now.
I would argue that Deshaun Watson.
I would argue he had a lot of rough
DeAndre
patches.
Hopkins, Deshaun Watson, and J.J. Watt had.
But
the Texans in a pretty good spot.
They're doing great right now, and you can't deny that. And C.J. Stroud was doing, he's doing better with less weapons. And Deshaun Watson also had a lot more hiccups his rookie year. On the field problems his rookie year rather than off the field problems, surprisingly enough. And C.J. Stroud, you know, I'm sure he's had his moments this year, but not a lot of them. And he's really looking like the guy there. He's in the MVP conversation right now.
I don't like him, but like, I get it. I can't.
But you're an Ohio State fan, Josh.
I can't necessarily disagree with you. I'm an Ohio State sympathizer.
Yeah, the Ohio State, I mean, they've hit on their last two quarterbacks now. C.J. Stroud and Justin Fields.
You could barely say that with a straight face.
No, that's facts. They've hit on both of them. I have to be back in on Justin Fields because I'm out on Tyson Bajan. So it's exhausting. And the other guy that we could have just cried his eyes out after a loss. So I'm really in a pickle here right now, Josh.
Yeah,
I think we may never have a good quarterback. I think the Bears might be cursed.
I would have to agree with that.
Yeah. So,
but they do have the standard.
They hold themselves to a high standard, at least. That's true. So the Texans had a really nice come from behind win without a kicker as well against the Buccaneers.
Yeah.
The Buccaneers have now lost four straight football games, and Baker might not be the guy. Tough.
Wait,
could have
really?
Seen that coming.
You don't think Baker Mayfield's the guy?
Yeah, I know. Who would have saw that coming?
I don't know.
He did manage to pull out a win against the Bears this year, so that was pretty
impressive.
If
only somebody would have been on this a few years ago.
I know.
Crazy.
But nobody was. Nobody
no,
was
no
on
one.
It. Yeah.
Nobody. No.
I was never in on Baker, though. Was I?
Yes.
No, I wasn't.
I would never
be in on an OU guy.
This year, you literally said that you think Baker was going to be the guy.
I never said the guy. I said maybe a guy. I think it could be a guy.
You were in on Baker this year.
He tricked some people. He did. Because, you know, you see number one overall pick, and then you just completely forget the last couple of years. Like what people did with Chase Young.
I literally never forget.
Number two overall pick, and they thought that he was actually better than Montez Sweat.
I literally never forget that Baker's not good.
Yeah. Josh, the Dolphins have not beaten a team over 500 in 416 days. Thoughts?
Yeah, the Dolphins are bad.
They're the most fraudulent good team in the
NFL.
They
are. Yeah, they're good at running the score up on terrible teams, and we got super excited, but like,
and Tua, they just, that throw at the end. Oh my woof. Holy smokes. So,
yeah, you're still going to try and sit here and tell me that Tua can throw the ball well?
No, I'm not going to try and do Thank that you. Anymore. I'm never going to try to you're do that again after that play. That
yeah,
was stupid.
They looked bad, and I would like to write this game off because it wasn't in America.
It was
overseas.
That's what sucks. It's just like
this
go
is such
overseas
a great
and then things get all jumbled, and now we just completely discount losses in a year, which I understand why you're discount or maybe discounting a win. I understand why you're doing it either way, but it's just that shouldn't be happening. It's too many international games. I'm fine with a game in London, maybe a game
in
Germany.
It's gotta be the Jaguars
here or there
or something.
But they're doing another one next week too. We got another Germany game. Yeah, but it's another one. The Colts are still in the AFC South race too, because that's a bad division.
That's so pathetic that they are still in there. But yeah, I would like to say, I think the Chiefs went over though later than the Dolphins.
They did. So you figured they would have been less adjusted at the time. Maybe that's the way to go though. Now maybe
no,
because
all the other international games, the team that stayed there longer won.
Okay, well. I don't know then. I would have at least expected the Dolphins to cover.
Yeah, the Dolphins just I don't know. It's weird. I don't really have an answer for it. And this just like I'm always a Dolphins truther, I feel like, where I'm like, oh, they're gonna have to go into the snow and they can't play in the cold. They suck in the cold. Well, it turns out they might just suck when they play good teams and they don't even need the cold.
I think that's it. I think we might have gotten to the bottom of it is that they just can't beat good football teams.
Yeah,
and they
might not
haven't
be
done
cold.
It in over a year. Well over a year now.
That's so insane.
Yeah. I mean at some point you're gonna have to beat them. Those are the teams that are typically in the playoffs. So I don't know. And I don't want to be out on Mike McDaniel, but you have to beat those teams too. As a head coach, you might want to try doing that as well. I'm very entertained by Mike McDaniel, but might be getting held back by his quarterback a little bit.
Slightly.
Yeah. I got maybe one more NFL note. I don't know if I do. Do you have anything else you want to talk about NFL related before we get into this other trade? The other 2 a.m. news that broke?
Patriots lost. I mean, that's always feels
Patriots
good.
Patriots lost.
Mac Jones threw a terrible interception.
Yeah, he's not
It was
good.
Very funny because I was actually watching this because I don't know why I was watching this one, but I was watching this one. And the entire drive, the announcers, I don't know who it was. I wish I could have remembered, but they're talking about how all Mac Jones needs to do here is not force the ball. Mac Jones' biggest issue is when he forces the ball in late in game situations. That's why he's not good in those situations. He goes all the way down the field very well. They are within 10 yards of getting to field goal range, and he forces the ball off of Juju Smith-Schuster's hands, right to the defender, interception, game over. Former Illinois player, actually, with the pick to seal the game. So,
nice.
Congratulations, Kellen.
I don't even know who it was.
I don't either.
But you played at Illinois. That's all that matters.
Yes. Next thing I need to say, Dak Prescott's terrible.
I mean, he didn't play bad against the Eagles.
He's still terrible.
I'm flipping in the air.
I can't do it. I can't do it with that flip.
I also
hate the Eagles.
Yeah, that is a tough one. One yard short. Story of some games, but it was a good game. The Eagles they've just been dominating the Cowboys the last couple of years, even though Dak has a pretty good record. against the Cowboys, but, you know, he's been out a lot of games. But yeah, that's what happened. Also, James Harden got traded, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
He got traded at 2 a.m. News broke. And I can't believe he forced his way out of another team. I cannot. He's done it in Houston. He's done it in Brooklyn. And now he's done it in Philly. I don't. And Philly still got a couple first round picks back for him, too. I didn't know that he was still worth that at this point, because you're just expecting him to demand a trade, if not this year, then early next year. So right now the Clippers championship window is this season. And now they need to figure out a way for Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, and James Harden to play basketball games at the same time with each other. Because you're not going to figure out chemistry right away. And you don't want to try to figure that out during the playoffs. So now these guys need to be willing to not just sit out and rest or just be injured. Like, a lot of times they just get injured too. So that these guys actually have to play basketball games together. It's their championship windows this year. Maybe the Clippers saw that was maybe the writing on the wall, because they put this team together and they were supposed to be good, and they really haven't done anything with any of these guys. They haven't even made it to a Western Conference Finals yet. So they were like, it's this year or nothing. Let's trade for a star and see if he adds anything to this team. But, I mean, I have no confidence that the Clippers are going to be any better.
Yeah, I feel like it's a bad. I mean, he's going to just do the same thing that he keeps doing. I mean, kudos to him.
He's the greatest of all time at demanding trades. He is the greatest at that. Can we agree? It's him, a big gap, and then Kyrie, and then just a cavernous gap between the next person. Maybe LeBron. I don't know. But he just switches teams. He doesn't even get traded. Yeah, so this I like to trade for the 76ers. I wasn't expecting James Harden to play much or play at all this year for them. And just getting him out of the locker room as soon as possible is going to help with team chemistry a lot. And then he gets some nice role players back in that trade too. Robert Covington, he's okay. Really not that special anymore. Nicholas Batum, he's a solid player. So, you know, you get a couple guys back that could score a point here or there, big bucket in the playoffs when you need them. But I still don't think the 76ers are a championship team either. It doesn't put them over the edge, but I think they're in probably a better position than they were before. Do you want to talk?
Yeah, I can't. I mean, I hope Philly's just good enough that they can lose again, because that's my favorite.
I think that's the position that they've put themselves in. A nice Eastern Conference Finals loss. Should we talk about the World Series at all, Josh? The Rangers won.
Yeah, congratulations, Kellen.
Congratulations to the Rangers. I'm not a Rangers fan, so not congratulations to me. But they won, and I was wrong about my prediction again. I said I thought it would go 7, and once again, the series went 5 and was kind of a blowout. So good on me. I need to start predicting these series go 5 so that we can actually have a good championship series. So that's on me. My bad. My bad, Josh.
I mean, it is your
Would
fault.
You like to congratulate the Rangers at all, maybe?
I would like to congratulate the Rangers.
Okay.
On winning the World Series.
Congratulations, guys. We'll jump into segments to end the show here. We got some stuff here, probably. Josh, where do you want to start? You want to do your player of the week?
Yeah, I would love to do my player of the week, Kellen. Just a second, I need to try and remember who it was, though. What was it? Oh my goodness. I had a good one. Oh, yeah, it's Austin Hedges.
Austin Hedges, yeah.
This guy got booed off the Pittsburgh Pirates and is now a World Series champion.
World Series champ. Did you see any of his at-bats during the World Series?
No.
I think he might have had one total at-bat. Yeah, I mean, you see why he got cut by the Pirates.
Bad.
Yeah, he, I mean, he, like, I mean, I said it before, because I figured the Rangers were going to be a playoff team. I didn't know they would be a World Series team. And I figured he was brought on the team just in order to get cut later in the season because they traded or they picked him up. I don't even know if they traded for him. He might have just been available because he got cut. You think he was on the Guardians. So they traded for him right after Jonah Heim got injured. So, you know, of course, it's just depth. They're just going to play him until Jonah Heim comes back. Mm-hmm. And he came back, and somehow Austin Hedges is still on the World Series roster as a third catcher. Congrats to him.
I mean, yeah.
And he's one of the worst hitters I've ever seen. I think he had an OPS plus of like 41 this year. So league average is 100. Not good. But good player of the week. World Series champ. Mm-hmm. Austin Hedges.
How about you?
My player of the week is Josh Dobbs, who came in this week for the Vikings without knowing any of the players' names on the team and just won them a football game against the Atlanta Falcons. So that's impressive.
It is.
Did you see the video of the Vikings fan?
Yes. Oh, that was awesome.
As a Vikings fan, it's like it's Dobbs time or something like that. And it's just a video of him shaving his eyebrows off. Congrats to Josh Dobbs. Did you think he was going to be terrible this year? I thought he was going to be awful.
I mean, I honestly I didn't think he was going to be what he is now, but, like, honestly, I always wanted him to play over Mason Rudolph when he was in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
And I think I was kind of on the record saying that.
You were. I don't know if you were on the record of saying that specifically, but it was definitely implied with how much you hated Mason Rudolph.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
You're Mason Rudolph over Mitch, right?
I don't even know at this point. Yeah. I hate them both.
Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair. But you do have a signed Mitch card, so you must kind of like him a little bit.
Yeah, totally. I'm a big Mitch guy.
Good point. So let's go with our fan base of the week. Josh, who do you have?
I think I have to go with Steelers fans because they said they have an announcement coming tomorrow, and I think that announcement might be color rush jerseys are going to be worn on Sunday. Because what else do you announce at 3 p.m.? It's got to be a special jersey.
It's got to be. It's got to be. I don't know what else they could possibly announce. Sorry, I have food in my mouth.
I don't know what you announce at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday, other than the fact that you're wearing sweet jerseys.
When was the last time they wore the color rush?
Last year, I think it was against... I think it was the Christmas Eve game against the Raiders.
And how'd they work out last time?
They won.
They won. So
yeah, people forget.
Who are they playing next week?
The Packers.
Okay. Yeah. So I like that idea. I like color rush against a team like
it's
that.
It's me.
Who's a team you don't like? If you're facing, I don't know, who's a team you don't do color rush against? Probably the Panthers. You would never do color rush against the Panthers.
You can't do that.
Yeah, that's a waste. Like, you probably win the game, but you don't need to use the magic of the color rush in that case. My fan base of the week, Josh, is thieves and criminals. Because
why is that?
Blake Martinez is trying to make a comeback into the NFL after he scammed a bunch of lovely fans, lovely collectors, just trying to make some bread. Get some collectible items because Blake Martinez retired from the NFL to sell trading cards. And turns out he was just scamming people the whole time. And he got maybe a big fine. He was almost going to get arrested, so I would assume he got fined. And now he's trying to make a comeback into the NFL because stealing things is not paying the bills, apparently. And he's a former Packer, by the way. He's a former Packer. So that's why he's
a criminal. Always are. They always are.
Yep. They're just the worst breed of people. That a class. See, in the Bears organization, character counts. Green Bay.
God.
Just it's totally. We don't know.
At least they won. What?
Well, yeah. Uncalled for. That is unnecessary. Whatever. Meanie. Who's your kicker of the week, you dickhead?
It's the Houston Texans running back that made that kick to win the
game. Yeah, that's a good one. I didn't even think about
that. I can't pronounce his name. So,
yeah.
But that's my kicker of the week.
That's racist that you can't pronounce it.
Nope, I don't think that is.
No, it's not. It's a tough one. my kicker of the week is Cairo Parkey. He doinked one. He was perfect on the year. And then it was the loudest doink I've heard in my entire life, too.
One doink?
Yes, just one doink, okay. Idiot. It was just one. I would have said if it was more than one.
Yeah, because you know sometimes there are like double doinks. It's rare, but occasionally you get two doinks. So I just really wanted to get a full understanding of the situation.
Yes, sometimes there are. Shut up, you loser, you loser. Oh. I'm sad about my Steelers. They keep winning football games, but not like I want them to win football games. And I have to bring up, because I'm a loser Steelers fan who wins football games, I have to bring up the double doink all the time. Well, even though I kind of brought that up. But I was about to make fun of it a little bit more. Yeah, I did bring it up. But you always make it a bigger deal than what it needs to be. So that's your fault. So whatever. Whatever. I'm not even mad about it. I'm totally over it. I'm over it.
Over what?
I don't want to talk about it because I'm over it. That's how over it I am.
What are you over?
It. I'm over. What's... This is it. Okay. This is me. Over.
I'm happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you. So who's your coach of the week? Idiot.
Sideline Matt Canada.
Oh, yeah. Good one. I like it. Yeah. It worked.
Sideline Matt Canada drive. Worked for one drive.
Yeah, and for a win.
They won. Yeah. Not apologizing for a win, but if I was going to, this would be the one I apologize for.
Okay, all right. Not the ones that the refs gave you?
No, we are okay. That.
Gotcha. My coach of the week is Tyronn Lue because he has to figure out how to make all those guys on the Clippers play together. So he's got his work cut out for him.
I think he's going to be able to do it. I really do.
You do? You do. Okay. No, I don't think so either. Also, the Western Conference is loaded, and the Clippers are not one of those teams, in my opinion. But it should be fun. They'll be must-watch TV. I'll give them that. I'm going to be tuning in for some Clippers games this year. That's for sure.
I honestly think that the post-game press conferences are going to be more entertaining than the games.
I mean, the first press conference James Harden had after being traded was already – he's like, I'm not a system player. I am the system.
Yeah, that was all
buddy,
time.
You're going to be third option on the Clippers. So I don't know what to tell you about that either.
It was all time.
Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are better than you. So, yeah, we'll have fun. We'll have fun keeping up with that. Any other things you want to put out there before we call it a show here, Joe?
I don't think so. I really don't. I think we're all – I think they'll put a nice little bow on it. I mean, I'm just looking forward to the Steelers playing again.
Yeah. I'm looking to you watching the Bears and getting them this win this week.
Hey, the Penguins. They scored 10 goals in the game. Dude, the San Jose Sharks are actually a miserable excuse for a franchise.
Yeah, mention
that.
They
gave up 10 goals in back-to-back games.
Back-to-back games, wow. Have they won a game yet?
I don't believe so, but let me double-check my statistics here. I don't think so.
If that is the case, they're still the only winless team in the
NHL
right now. They are
historically bad, is what people aren't talking about.
Yeah.
But everyone's actually talking about it. They have 1 point. They've not won a game, but they went to overtime once.
Were they the team that ended up with the number two pick this year? Or was that the Ducks?
That was the Ducks. Okay. The Ducks are looking pretty good. Ducks are a pretty good team.
Has Fantilli played?
Yes.
How's he been?
All right.
Connor Bedard. Pretty fun. I'm having fun.
Yeah.
5 goals so far. The Hawks aren't good, but he's playing good. So that's
good. The Hawks are pretty bad. They're a pretty bad team.
Yeah. They are. But how are the Penguins looking right now?
They're terrible. They're the worst team in the NHL.
I thought that thought you might be there at this point this week.
No, I'm ready for them to fire the coach.
Okay. Is it still Sullivan?
Yeah, he needs to be fired.
All right. That's hockey for you.
And that's hockey. That's the show. I mean, we'll be back next week.
We will be.
With more completely unbiased actions. So stay unbiased this week, and we will see you all again next week.